Well, we're talking like there are only two pianists in this world, and indeed you have worked with many of them, and one of my favorites being a Texas boy is Van Cliver. But I have to say, he had a period of silence. You didn't hear a thing
for
from
8 years he didn't play.
Forever. And, yeah. And what prompts that, and then what prompts them to
What prompted it, you know, I said to him, I traveled with Van Cliver, and we were doing almost every night somewhere else, you know, a concert, or at least every second night. I was exhausted.
More like a rock star.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was exhausted. I said to him, Van, one day, I said, Van, where do you practice? When do you practice? I practice on stage, he said. You know, no time for practicing, you know. So he really burned out, you know, and he didn't play for 8 years. And the first concert he played afterwards was when he called me, when we had the summit meeting at the White House, with Gorbachev and with Reagan. And it was the Russians which asked if Van Cliver could play at the summit meeting, you know, in the East Room after the state dinner. And Van called me at that time. And he said, Franz, don't tell anyone, you know, but I just have been asked, you know, to play. The Russians have asked me if I would play. I said, please pray about it, that I make the right decision. I said, Van, well, he hadn't played for 8 years at that time. And I said, Van, I'm sure you can play some show. Oh, yeah, he said, you know, but please don't even tell your wife. Just pray about it, he said. But anyhow, then came the announcement over the radio that he was going to do it, you know, to play for the summit meeting, you know, and... with Gorbachev and Shevardnadze, all those people were there.
How much of an impact on that country did his winning the competition have? It must
immensely. When I was with Horowitz in Russia, boys, you know, there were so many people which asked me, when is Van Cliver coming back, you know, to Russia? They loved this Texan boy, you know. It was something for the Russians, you know, piece of America, really, you know, and the freedom and all this, and the way he even walked on stage, you know.
But it caused quite a stir, certainly, with maybe more so with other countries. I don't know. Maybe they were more upset about an American winning it than
could be
the Russians.
Could
I don't know.
But I remember that Gilels, the Russian pianist, was sitting on the jury, you know, and Gilels told me the story, you know. That at that time, you know, when it happened, who was in charge, like Khrushchev or whatever it was, you know, and he, before they gave him the first prize, you know, the winner was announced, he asked, you know, Khrushchev, who was there, he said, so and so, you know, we all feel he should be number one. And Khrushchev said, if he is number one, let him be number one. Gilels told me the story. You know, I was good friends with Emil Gilels, a Russian pianist.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What is Cliburn still playing? He doesn't play very often.
He's
feeling that well.
As pianist, he's finished. He has played after, in the last few years, here and there, maybe for friends or what. It's pathetic. Yesterday, a lady told me he went to one of the concerts, and it's not the same anymore.
Is a lot of
He has passed his... and his mother's not around. The mother made him play, you know. He was such a lazy boy. He wouldn't get up in... I never could call him before 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, it's true. And he was a night person, you know. But it was his mother. As long as his mother lived, she made him play the piano and practice the piano, you know. But and when she died, I mean, the whole world broke together for him because he had didn't have his mommy anymore. And she is the one who really pushed him.
Somebody
you know?
Had to stand behind him with a whip and make
exactly,
him sit down and play.
Exactly. Yeah. So that... and then he played and didn't play for quite some time. But he played well when we opened, and I forget, then again, I tuned for him when we opened up the Meyerson Center in Dallas, the new concert hall, you know. Was all paid for, you know. It was amazing. But Van Cliver was as, and of course, what should he play? Tchaikovsky, you know. Why do you play so much accordion? I asked him once, Franz, I can't help it. Just when you people invite me, and what do they want to hear? You know, I would love to play something else too, but they asked for the Tchaikovsky, so I had to play the Tchaikovsky. And I have it on my own video, you know. I took it. Nobody was supposed to be there, you know, with the video camera. I got there with the head usher. I got so friendly, let me stay in a corner. And Steinway uses this even in their promotion, you know. My clip there from the... It's amazing what the video camera does, you know. And I go, and he did very well there. He did very well. But now he doesn't need to. He is so rich, that guy.
Well, he just has to keep repackaging what he's already recorded, and he can live forever.
Yeah, for years and years he had his own jet, you know. And, I mean, he lived at Waldorf Astoria with a fleet of rooms. And, oh, my goodness. In his house... Yeah, must have has about 12, 15 Steinways, you know. And I said to him once, he said, when I retire, I come and spend a few weeks here to get you pianos in shape, you know. But he had only one or two, which were his favorite, you know, which he loved to say. But he said one day to me, Franz, have you ever seen my suitcases? No. He loves suitcases, or leather suitcases. But so he took me to the attic of his big house in Fort Worth. Boys, you wouldn't believe it. As far as you could see, suitcases.
Were they all packed or ready to go?
It was bad. We had a great time together. He was the only one, too, you know, where we would, he's a Christian man, we would pray for a concert. Mm-hmm. Before a concert, you know. Franz, you pray backstage, you know, you pray for a concert.
And that's not something you're going to hear very often in the concert world.
No.
No.
We did, for instance, he knows where I was standing. He himself is a Christian. Well, family was a strong Christian people. But again, was all mummy. You know, when we traveled and went out for eating together, it was he would say, quiet, please, at the dinner table. Mother will pray with us now. I never heard him pray, but mother's... was the one had to pray. But in the White House, you know, when we were in the White House, state dinner, and then the concert after the summit meeting, you know, and the atmosphere was so ice cold, you know, there. And but never forget Gorbachev saying after a speech from the dinner table, you know, when he spoke, Reagan spoke, and then Gorbachev, you know what he said? His last sentence was, God help us all. And I knew my spirits that Gorbachev meant it. And it blew me away. And then Van said to me at the dinner table, he said, Van, they have no idea about peace. You know what? Let's go and we pray, you know. So we all went, a group of people, some of the Marines too, you know. And Linda Faulkner was a wonderful Christian girl, which was a social secretary. We went to the East Room, nobody else there, holding hands, and then we prayed together. It's true, while still the state dinner was going on.
And Horowitz wanted to hear you pray for a different reason.
He must have
thought it was a great performance or something.
That's right. You know, you know, he invited himself for dinner, and we got so scared. Franz, how long are you working for me? Said Maestro, and you never know what comes, so I was already scared, you know. He said, Franz, how long are you? He said, Maestro, I don't know, must be 15 years now. He said, how come? You know how important dinner is for me. How come that you never invite me for dinner at home, to your home? He said, Maestro, would you come to my home? I mean, I'm just a piano tuner. Sure, I come to your house. He said, I mean, your wife must be a good cook. You are still alive, you know. So my poor Elizabeth, I come home. I said, Elizabeth Horowitz invited himself for dinner. And she got so scared, the poor girl, you know, because he is very funny about eating, you know, only fish and chicken, you know. And we had to fly the grave filler of soul into Moscow even for him, you know. He was very funny about eating. So Elizabeth said, you know what? He's an artist. He forgets, you know, better don't tell him anything, you know. But I never forget, we are at RCA, Studio A, you know, doing recording sessions, you know. And we always would stand in Studio A, is upstairs. And we always would, they would call from downstairs, Horowitz is on the way, you know. And we all would stand around the elevator to receive Horowitz with wonder, you know, off the elevator. So Horowitz comes off the elevator. Franz, we come this Saturday, you know. Oh, my poor Elizabeth. So, but she resigns then, you know, and she is a good cook, you know.
Nobody died as a result.
No, that's right. So she, what she did, she got a little bit excited. She said, Franz, I have said a beautiful recipe, you know, chicken recipe. I'm sure he will like it. And, you know, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. So on, was it Friday or Thursday evening? We two had a test eating, you know. See how the chicken came out. And was excited. Was fine. Was wonderful. And we are finished with dinner. Elizabeth and me at home, there comes a call in this Wanda Toscanini Horowitz. Get me Elizabeth. So I got Elizabeth on the phone, my wife, and said, Elizabeth, forgive me, but the maestro just gave me the menu, what he would like to eat on Saturday. And it was not at all chicken. He wanted this filet of sole.
Uh-huh.
He wanted a little bit of salad. And but with oil and vinegar on the side, and he wanted only Evian water to drink, no wine, just Evian water, and he wanted a little pasta, and he wanted as dessert a baked apple with honey on the side. Okay, so here we go. And he insisted that my kids would be there, you know, my children would be there, and they were there. And of course, they behaved all very nicely. You know, Horowitz was there. And anyhow, he always kept on saying that night, Franz, what a rich family you have. What a rich family, the kids, you know, and all this. He kept on saying that, what a rich family you are. And well, at that time, I had a Soma piano, grand piano, at home. And I didn't want really to ask him to play, you know, but... Emigel else played it when he was at our home. But anyhow, I tried to make a Steinway out of it. I put Steinway hammers in and all this kind, but it didn't work. But it was nevertheless a decent piano. But Horowitz comes and looks at the piano, so I'm a Steinway artist. I'm not playing this, you know. So anyhow, we sit at the table, and I said to him, Maestro, you know, we always pray before we eat. Can I pray? Yeah, you can pray, Franz. I turned to Wanda, his wife. Didn't I tell you, we go to Franz, he's going to pray. Okay, Franz, you pray. You won't hear any amen from me. So I prayed, you know, not only about the food. You know, the Lord would bless the food, but I prayed that the Lord would give us a good trip to Japan. We were on the way to Japan the next week. Okay. So... Anyhow, that was it. He didn't say amen, but something got stuck in his mind after this. We are in Tokyo and staying all at the Imperial Hotel. And we are in a private setup with all the Japanese promoters. Must have been at least 24 people or more sitting there. Beautiful setup. You know, the drinks come first and all this, and everybody excited because it was a tremendous concert. They paid him for 2 concerts $1 million at that time.
Wow.
84, 85, for classical artists is high. But that's what they did to Japanese. So everybody, finally the food comes, boys. Okay. And it was funny. You should see Horowitz. Quiet, please. I want everybody to be quiet. And he turns to me and he sits diagonally across from me, way over there. He said, Franz, I want you to pray now, but you pray as beautiful as you did in your home. I don't know what is beautiful about prayer, but yes, yes, you bow your head. And the Japanese, he knows this anyhow, how to bow your head. So I had to pray.
They had no idea what you were saying, probably.
No, anyhow.